Welcome to the James Mellon Podcast. I am Dr. James Mellon, and I am here to help you live your greatest life ever by living life to the fullest. What you're about to hear is one of my Sunday talks from our Celebrations of Love. I hope you enjoy it.
So, the best is yet to come. Is it? I mean, really think about this. You know, Luke picked this song. Nate did not pick this song. Luke picked this song. And when he picked it, the first thing in my head was, the best is yet to come. That's exactly the opposite of what we teach in this philosophy. The best is yet to come. And then I went, is it though? And I had to go through this whole metamorphosis of what does this song mean in terms of science of mind? And so my question to you this morning was, is it? Is the best yet to come? Now, we're supposed to have expectancy, aren't we? We're supposed to expect the best in our lives. So that's true. But then how many of us expect the best to always be ahead of us? And thus, if here I am expecting the best to be in the future, I just walk around with my future out here constantly. And suddenly I'm 68 years old, still expecting the best to come. Do you get the point?
Yeah.
So... I love that. Yeah. Loud and clear. So I went back to, which is what I always do when something like this occurs, I went back to Ernest Holmes. I was like, what is this philosophy about? So last night we were in Palm Springs and we had an amazing service in Palm Springs. They had to keep bringing out more chairs. So many people showed up last night to hear the science of mind. It was an overflowing room. It was just amazing. But a woman said to me after the service, she said, I look forward. She goes, I loved it. It's my first time. I'm so excited that you're here in the desert. And she said, I'm looking forward to really hear what Ernest Holmes taught. And in my head, I was like, me too. Because in one sense, the best is yet to come is also what Ernest Holmes taught in 1927 is very different today than it was even in 1927. But every time I say that, what I now realize is it probably wasn't different for him. He probably got it. And it's taken us so long to catch up to these simple rules and laws of the universe that guide our life. So we're going to start with some Ernest Holmes today. He says, the philosophy of the science of mind is based on the conception that we are living in a universe of intelligence, a spiritual universe, that thoughts are things. Now, this we've heard this 1,000 times. Most of you have been in my classes, so you're thinking, wow, this is like Science of Mind 101. It is. Science of Mind 101 for 2023. Because our minds need to keep catching up with this philosophy. So, if we, based on the concept that we live in a universe of intelligence, that's just the first precept. The universe is intelligent. Everything that's going on, what you just experienced, the adventure you just went through, is an intelligent universe. We don't know why you experienced that song the way you experienced it. We don't know why, but there's a reason. Because the universe is intelligent. Nothing happens by accident. We do not live in an accidental world. We do not live in a chaotic world. We actually live in a world of symmetry. We just sometimes can't see it. And when we can't see it, we attach ourselves to what we're looking at. And that's the wrong method to make your life exactly what you want it to be. So he says, starting off, we live in a universe of intelligence, a spiritual universe. Spiritual is getting quite a rap these days. So many people don't want to hear the word religion, God, or church. God forbid we say church, any of those things. So we've taken a word and wrapped it around all of it and just called it, it's spiritual. I'm not a religious person. I'm spiritual. How many of you say that? Yeah. So a spiritual universe. But what does that mean? All it means is spirit is energy. If we take science of mind and quantumize it, then spiritual is quantum. The quantum field of pure creative intelligence and energy. And that's who we are. It's not like we've been dropped into this field. We are this field. That's something to wrap your mind around. I am a spiritual being. You all know what I'm about to say. Living in a spiritual universe governed by my use of a spiritual law, which is the law of... That's the whole enchilada. That's everything Ernest Holmes is talking about. I'm a spiritual being, and I live in a spiritual universe, not a haphazard universe. And then he says, thoughts are things, and here's where we really go. The best is yet to come. That could be a thought that you have that creates the absolute reality of your life. Someday, how many of you use that word? Someday I will be successful. Someday I will win the lottery. Who says that one? Good. Kevin. Kevin says it all the time. He's constantly looking at the, you know, $40 million homes he's about to buy as soon as he wins the lottery. Right? You don't play. You're going to win the lottery? Oh, that's a whole other talk, and I'm not going there. That is one of those signs of mind things. People are like, yes, thoughts are things, but not in my mind. Yes. So thoughts are things. Every one of your thoughts is creating something. Now, I know it is the amalgamation of all of it. It is the coming together of all of your thoughts and beliefs that really creates the essence of your life. But every thought you have adds to or detracts from what you are trying to accomplish. And this quote goes on, that defines states of consciousness as they become subjective, operate through a creative field, and tend to reproduce themselves in form. So let me go back to the end of that. That thoughts are things, that definite states of consciousness, as they become subjective, operate through a creative field, and tend to reproduce themselves in form. Let me make this really simple for you. It's a creative medium, and what you think moves it in whatever direction you've decided to move it based on your thoughts. That's what we teach. That's it. That is what we teach. And then we spend, but I'm about to celebrate 20 years of ministry, actually 22 years, 20 years as the founder of this church, of the Global Truth Center. But 20 years, I've been saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And my only desire is to believe it so clearly that my mind wouldn't dare think things that aren't going to serve me, that my mind wouldn't dare create things out of my thoughts and have those thoughts be anything other than what I want. How does that happen? Through practice, through this practice of the science of mind. So the title of my talk today is, What About Now? What about now? You know, the best is yet to come. What about now? How about having your best life right now? Who would like that? Your best life right now. Absolutely right now in this moment, no holds barred. Just you're doing everything you want to do. You're having your best life now. Now, that doesn't mean you're talking yourself into believing you're having your best life now. It means being really honest with yourself and asking yourself, is this the best use of me? Is this my best life now? Or do I still have a boatload of yeah buts? How many of you have yeah buts? You all have buts. So you all have yeah buts. It's like, yes, but, yeah, but, I mean, yeah, I could have my best life now, but, you know, I have a headache. Or whatever excuse you use. So, I said last week this. If you're breathing, there are adventures to be had. If you are breathing, there are adventures to be had. Here's the thing. You are all breathing. Anybody not breathing? Are you good, Joselito? We're all breathing, so there are all adventures to be had. But here's the other part of this. If you are all thinking, there are adventures to be made. And here's the other side of that. You are thinking and you are creating the adventures of your life with every thought, with everything you think, everything you decide, everything you react to, all of your beliefs. You know, Joselito was talking about going into the emergency room and feeling that energy, the consciousness of that room. That's because there's 100 people in that room, all fearful, all worried about either the person they brought in or themselves. So there's an energy there, and there is a pervading energy there. And that energy really does get into your energy. And we are moving through a universal field of creative energy. No matter where we go, we are feeling the energies around us. Have you ever walked into a room and you suddenly just, something doesn't feel right? Yeah. What do you think that is? That's not you. It's not like, did you go to a bad restaurant just now or something? No, it's just you walk in and you're going, oh, or you meet someone and just something about them feels dark. How many of you remember that, right? So this is the world we live in. You need to be conscious. I need to be conscious of how I am allowing this universal field to affect me. And more importantly, I believe it's important for me to notice how I'm affecting it. Because all it's asking for is direction. All it's asking for is for you to direct it, to do whatever it is you want to do. So I have a question for you. What do you think you're making right now? What do you think you're making right now? If you're thinking and all your thoughts are creating something, what are you making? What are you creating? What are your thoughts creating for you? Just take a moment and just think about it. Like, how have you used your mind this week? How did you use it today so far? What's going on in your mind? What's going on in your life? Are there things about yourself that you keep beating yourself up about? Somebody asked me a question the other day. It was at the gym. I was at the gym and I ran into someone that I knew from my college days. And while I was expecting something like, man, you look like amazing. Like you look just like you used to look. It's not what he said. He looked at me and he said, how are you doing with aging? What I wanted to say was, I wish I hadn't run into you today. But he did. He said, how are you doing with aging? And I said, you know what? Half and half. A lot of time I'm doing good with aging. You know, and then there is I would say 50-50. There's 50% of the time I'm like, I really would love to be 20 again and know what I know now. I don't want to go back to 20 in my consciousness at that time. But, you know, and so I know there's work to do in that department. So the real question becomes, what am I creating every time I join this 50% of that equation? What am I doing? And why can't I just, as you said, stay over here and know how amazing aging is? Because there's parts of aging that I absolutely love. I love Medicare. Right? I love Social Security. I don't even notice those checks coming into my account. I love that. And I love saying to people that I'm 68 years old and getting a reaction. When I don't, then I go to this side of the equation. And I'm like, wow, okay. So I am aware that this is one of those things that I am creating. And here's what Ernest Holmes says. Never look at that which you do not wish to experience. So therefore, maybe the best way to stop aging in its tracks is to stop freaking talking about it. What do you think? Yeah. Stop using that. Somebody said to me the other day, you look really great for your age. And I was like, you know, that sentence almost works. Why don't we stop at great? You look really great, Lisa. Yeah. And you looked great when you were winning, you know, world titles, all of it. So how do you feel about that? Does that feel good? Yeah. Okay. So Ernest Holmes says, never look at that which you do not wish to experience. How hard do you think that is, Dr. Liza? It's hard, isn't it? Yeah. I've been teaching this stuff for 20 years, 22 years, and studying it for 10 years before that. And it's still hard to not contemplate things that maybe you don't like. Things that come up. Anybody having any political things going on in the world, right? No, we're not going to talk about politics from this stage, other than to say, be done with it. Know the truth, know your truth, and stay there. You don't have to go convince the world. You just need to be true to what you believe where you are. That's what Ernest Holmes is saying. Don't spend all of your time looking at the things you don't want to create. He also says this: we should carefully consider whether we are willing to experience the result of our thoughts. What do you think about that? You should carefully consider what you are willing to experience as the result of your thoughts. So how many of you, just think about this week for a second. How many of you this week alone went on some kind of jag about how annoying something was? Okay. I would say all of you at one point this week at least contemplated the idea that something was annoying you. Would you say that? Is there anybody that feels they went from last Sunday to this Sunday with only cheerful, positive, constructive, amazing thoughts? Anyone? Dean? So, okay, there's work to do then, right? Right, Jeannie? There is work to do because I do think that's possible. We just haven't been trained that way. And yet we have been trained that way. Tiffany's been trained that way. God knows what your mind does during the week. It does mostly good though, right?
Yes, 60-40. 60-40,
that's great. Who's in 60-40 category? More good than bad. Okay, who's in 50-50? Who's in 40-60? These are important things to actually know about ourselves. I want to go back a second. I think I might have... Nope, there it is. Okay. So, yeah, it's time for us to contemplate. In this month of adventure, the thing that's so exciting to me is the mind. I have gone back to basics and really said, what has Ernest Holmes taught me? Why did I go through Catholicism, Buddhism, Marianne-Williamson-ism? Which is A Course in Miracles, but she was really the thing. All of this, Hinduism, I've gone through all of it. Back to Catholicism, believe it or not. After all that, I went back to Catholicism briefly. It was like a day or two. But I did go back to it. I went to a church and I was like, let me just go back to my roots. And my roots were like, pull them up. But I heard some things I really did love. But all of this, going through all of this, at the end of the day, Ernest Holmes had it for me. That's why I've been doing this for so long, because he makes sense. He makes logical sense. And we need to make logical sense out of this science, which is as simple as that. Do you want to live the results of your thoughts? And really, do you want to live the results of your beliefs? So as I said, the title of my talk is, What About Now? I want to look at the second side of that, Ernest Holmes, this teaching. It's not okay to just read the 1927 book and leave it at that, because it's not at that. We are not in 1927. We're about 100 years later, and it is important. It is extraordinarily important for us to understand where has he taken us? Where has he catapulted us? So while all of this is true, that your thoughts are things, that you live in a field of intelligence called spirituality, that what you do with your mind creates the life you live, while all of that is true, there's a part of what Ernest Holmes was talking about that I want to go to. He said, a complete understanding of truth would be a complete understanding of God, and a complete understanding of God would be to become God. Now, here's the irony. This is an Ernest Holmes quote from 1927, not 1960, when he actually said the I am God spiritual talk that he gave. So I've been saying the idea of I am God, and I realize now the big problem there is not the I am part of that equation. It's the God part of the equation. Because we've grown up for our whole lives with an idea of who God is, what God is. And no one wants to be that. We'd like to be the good side of it, the beautiful side of it, but not the side of it that's vindictive or that punishes, or even the side of it that makes you so fallible. And so when Ernest Holmes says a complete understanding of truth would be a complete understanding of God, maybe that's the new journey, the adventure we need to be on. What is God? Who is God to you? And I would invite you to not let that answer be, I don't deal with God. I don't like the word God. Forget the word. What is the concept? What is the idea? What is the energy? If we live in this quantum field, where does God come into play in this quantum field? Because it's pretty simple, as far as I can see. This new science is redefining God, not eliminating God. This new quantum science is not asking us to throw God under the bus and be done with it. It's asking us, as Ernest Holmes did 100 years ago, to understand it. To understand that there's this loving presence, this intelligence, this creativity. And when I say loving, I'm not talking about a human concept of loving. It is just an energetic field that has constantly got me, always holds me in its arms, in its grace, because it's what I am. And if I understand that, a complete understanding of God would be to become God, to become who we truly are, who we absolutely are. You are at the center of all the adventure of life, because the adventure is you. It's not out there. You are the adventure. So, how about the best is right here, as opposed to the best is yet to come? The best is right here because you are right here. And if we start really understanding God and this science, and we start really understanding our mind and how we use it, and we really start paying attention to the things we're giving energy to, we really start paying attention to the things we are creating in our lives, I sometimes think that this science, this teaching, this philosophy gets used only when we need to fix something. And that's a problem, because then you just end up in the emergency ward, as opposed to living this teaching, living this science, living this philosophy so audaciously that your mind couldn't possibly consider you as being anything other than the most powerful designing individual on this planet, designing your life any way you choose, because your mind is built that way. And that's the truth. Your mind is built that way. So what about now? What about deciding now is the time to really get this teaching and start living it? Ernest Holmes said, show me one person who lives this teaching fully and we will transform the world. So that means it's time to stop just demonstrating your parking spaces, but start demonstrating a healthy, vibrant, exciting, passionate, adventurous life. Every aspect of your being is literally sitting right here today asking you, how about now? How about living this teaching now? And I don't want to hear, I don't understand it yet. You do. It's pretty simple. Your mind thinks and the universe answers. What you are thinking, it says yes to. So I'll leave you with one last question. What are you finally ready to say yes to? That's the adventure of a lifetime. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the James Mellon Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing to the show. That way, you'll be sure to receive every new episode. And if you want to reach out and talk to me, you can always find me at my website, jamesmellon.org. Thanks again, and I will see you next time.